Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Stay Attached podcast. This is going to be the episode number 9, and we are joined by a very special guest, the one and only Eli Standy Bentz, who is a one-time major land champion. He was a rookie last season, won an event on land. He just came into the league and absolutely is dominating. One of the best SMGs in the Call of Duty League. Eli, welcome to the show. How are the tacos? Hello. How are the tacos?
Just had some tacos. They were great. You know, had some lettuce on them, had some cheese.
What else? What kind of tacos?
Beef tacos. Beef? With some spices on them, and steak tacos as well. I didn't eat the steak ones, but the beef ones were good. Okay. And I'm feeling full. I'm feeling happy. Hey, I'm ready to talk.
Food is the key to happiness, as you know, because, I mean, you guys do always make fun of me for how much food I eat, which is not cool. But it's okay. I still love you guys. So let's just get right into it. Where did you live? Where'd you grow up? Where were you living?
Pennsylvania, Harrisburg.
Pennsylvania, Harrisburg.
Lingolstown, a town called Lingolstown.
Lingles. Isn't that like, didn't you like go to a high school or school where some other gamers went to?
Oh, yeah. Well, the school I went to, my high school rivalry, like the, you know, like you have like your high school football teams.
Yeah,
like
the
rivalry for my school. Gump went there.
Oh, you know? Shit. So, like, you guys
he went to a place called Cumberland Valley. And I went to a place called Central Dauphin.
And so,
don't dox me. But
so, this rivalry has been brewing throughout the years, and now you finally made it to the Pro League. Actually, had a crazy debut versus them, too. We're going to talk about that later on. But that's pretty cool. Like, a lot of Call of Duty players come from PA, like, some of the best in the world, like Killa, TJ Haley, Standy. Who else? Is JCAP from PA or is he from Delaware? I don't even know where it is, to be honest. But did you like growing up there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone likes where they grew up from, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really know anywhere else.
So yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to... I liked it there.
Yeah. But how'd you, like, get into gaming? Like, Call of Duty, gaming, or just gaming even before Call of Duty?
I mean, I just think when I was younger, I always wanted, like, an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
So then... my dad got me like an Xbox 360, and then at first I wanted Call of Duty games when I was in like sixth grade, but my dad never got them for me because like they're like shooting games.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like the whole like thing about like you don't want your kid to grow up and be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then eventually he got me Black Ops 1, and that was like my first like COD.
Right. Did you just fall in love right when you played it?
Yeah. I mean, I played like a lot of different games like Minecraft and stuff, but COD was definitely like my favorite game.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I just like, I guess you could say like kind of had a gaming addiction like when I was younger, but I still played baseball. So it's like,
oh, okay.
I wasn't just gaming.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Like I would still go to baseball, have tournaments and stuff on the weekends, but I knew it was bad when I was standing in the field and I was thinking about going home and playing Call of Duty. Like that's all I wanted to do. I guess that's kind of how it was for a lot of us. And now we ended up here, professional Call of Duty players. But did you have a lot of siblings?
Yeah, I have a lot of siblings. I have a sister. She's the oldest. I have a twin brother. I have two younger brothers that are twins. And then I have like a step half brother. I don't know what the exact determination is at, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I basically have like four brothers and then a sister.
Did any of them play Call of Duty too, or was it just you?
I mean, my twin brother played Call of Duty, but he like, I would always like, we only had one Xbox, so like, I would always like kind of hog it up and just like kind of just be like, I want to play when I was younger.
Hey, I mean, it paid off. Like, look at you now. What's it called? So Black Ops 1 was your first game, right? Call of Duty. When did you learn about like competitive gaming, like game battles, tournaments, all that?
I think like Black Ops 3, end of AW. Like end of AW is when I started watching like YouTube videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And like some kid I met in a ranked play AW like taught me about game battles.
Just really?
Some random kid. And then like that's kind of how I like started to really like it a lot.
Yeah. Did you have any like favorite teams or players that you watched growing up, or were you just kind of like whatever?
I mean, obviously, I mean, I think like most people like probably watch Scum just because he's like the main YouTuber guy.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I like Denial, like your team.
Let's
like,
go.
Right when I started watching COD,
you got good taste.
When I was like, yeah, right when I first started watching COD, I liked that team because you guys like won champs and stuff. But wait, it was weird. So like your guys' champs was like early in the season, right? Or it wasn't like the last event, or
Yeah,
was it?
it was 3 months into the season. And
Like
the
that's so weird.
yeah.
COD champs 3 months into the season, like what?
And
Like
like after then, some people just wouldn't even care, 'cause like the biggest tournament of the year already happened. So after, we were still going to events and tournaments the
yeah.
whole like last half of the season, and some people just wouldn't even care. They'd just be like, "Eh, champs already ended. I won champs, or I did good at champs. I don't even care anymore." But
Yeah.
yeah, it was really weird back then. And I think like the COD champs was literally just like a promotion for like the DLC they would release at that time. And that's why we played DLC maps at Call of Duty Champs. Like, do you remember the
Oh
snow map, the avalanche
yeah,
one?
the snow map, and there wasn't there another map? Maybe
I
not. There's an
don't
SD
know.
map. Was it SN? I don't know, but I do
Maybe.
remember the snow map. The snow map
Yeah.
hardpoint and
True.
SND.
I remember playing that map in the grand finals of champs versus TR. And yeah, we got 6-0'd. Naga Finn is jumping into random floating spots on top of buildings. We were down bad after that,
Did you guys
but
have like reps on the map, or like did the DLC just come out and like you guys were just kind of.
now we had reps. We won it earlier in the tournament, and I think we actually 6-0'd the team that we played on it. And so we were feeling real confident, like, yo, we're about to come in, we're about to smoke these guys in finals, and then they 6-0'd us. And we're like, all right, regain, forget about that map, and let's move on. But it was pretty crazy whenever the whole avalanche would actually happen in the middle of the game. You're just in the building hiding
Oh, I
from the
forgot
snow.
about that.
Yeah, like the avalanche would kill you if you were outside. So
That's nuts.
it was kind of hectic. But at what point in your life, or like your kind of early gaming career, did you realize that you wanted to like become a pro player and like take competing like serious?
Probably when I was like 16, 17, because I think when I was 15, I started winning like a lot of high roller wagers or like tournaments and stuff for like hundreds of dollars. And then I just kept playing after the years, and I just kind of fell more and more in love with it. And then like I always thought I was really skilled. So then when I was like 16, 17, I was like, I tried to like get in eights more. I tried to get in like things that I could like practice
Yeah.
variant, because obviously I feel like the real goal, obviously I loved making money from S&D tournaments, but like my real goal was to like be a professional, because that's where
Yeah.
like, you know what I mean? That's where it's
That's where you can have a
pretty
real
good.
career. Like you can't just play SND the rest of your life and like make a successful career out of it. So at some point you either gotta be like a streamer, a YouTuber, or you gotta go pro to like actually be able to make money and to do this for as a real job. So you made it happen. But can you talk to us about your Modern Warfare season where you actually ended up winning Challenger Champs in MW. Like, who's your teammates, your team? Like, break that all down for us.
So I think I started off that year with like my friends from Black Ops 4 that I played like underage events with. Like there is like these tournament sites, like Twitter sites that have like $2,000 prizes. You would play with like your team in a little
Yeah.
league against other teams. And I started off like my friends are named like Kayum, Horizon Fall, Dave Patty, which is a pro now, and then like someone else. And then from there, I just kind of like did decent with them, like getting like top 16, like top 24, I think like top 8 once. And then, but like I was always doing really good, and I feel like I was carrying my own. And then eventually, like I joined another better team, which is like Swirly, Evasion, Zinx. We won an event, and then from there I jumped to a Triumph Gaming, and that was like my main, like that was my first like I feel like official team, and I was getting like salary and stuff. So it was like my parents kind of saw something coming from it, and I was also playing with like really good past pros like Nagafin, Felony, like Royalty, like you know what I mean? They're basically pro players, you know what I mean? So from there, that's when I started winning like more challenger events, and then I ended up winning like COD Champs. And like COD Champs is like, when I won COD Champs, I was like, there's no way I don't get a spot in the league. Like I did everything I could. Everyone's like, there's gonna be expansion, like all this stuff's gonna happen, and I didn't get picked up. And then I was like, no way, man, like no way. I did everything I could. I won like six events, and like people are just still saying I'm ass. Like,
They're
but
still calling me an onliner, no
they're
way.
still, yeah, like, but I mean, it is what it is. But like, that's just kind of what you have to do. You have to prove yourself multiple times, so
Yeah.
you like people know you're the real deal.
I mean, it's crazy that you said that you won champs and you didn't, or Challenger champs and didn't get picked up into the Pro League the following season. 'Cause I'm pretty sure that happened with the last team who won Challenger champs. It was like, wasn't it Saints, Pro League,
Oh yeah.
Mohawk, and One.
And
I
I
don't know.
felt like I was dominant too. Like I felt like I was
Yeah.
easily like the best sub in Challengers. Like I don't mean to be like egotistical, but like I literally felt like I was the best sub in Challengers. Like definitely.
I mean, that's how
So
you
it's
have to
like
be.
wow.
Like you have to be confident. You have to think you're the best, especially when you're like trying to climb the ranks. 'Cause if you are just
The
kind of,
best is gonna get picked up.
you
You know what I
can't
mean?
really be like a support player or like a team player with your challenger team. Like you need to be able to obviously play with the team, but you need to shine. Because if you're not
For sure.
shining, dropping a lot of numbers, and just absolutely taking over the game from time to time, people aren't gonna notice you and really wanna pick you up. 'Cause that's why all like the people that get called like that can be like kill whores, quote unquote, or like people just running around kind of making dumb plays but get a lot of kills. They get the camera time, people see them doing well, and that's usually how they get
They're gonna
picked
get more
up.
nasty
So,
clips. Like,
yeah.
honestly, if a person's getting a lot of kills, as long as they're open-minded and have like, and they can talk to people normally, like they're probably gonna learn how to play COD in like a more proper way. And
Yeah.
that's like kind of with me. Obviously, I was smart, but you know what I mean? When you play with pros and you talk with more pros, like you start to learn the game and like see it in a different kind of like point of view
Yeah.
compared to like amateur players.
Now that's definitely one of the best things with you that separates you from a lot of other players who have went like pro in the past or just players that are still stuck in challengers is the fact that you're really talented, you're smart, and you could also learn like pretty quickly. So if someone tells you something like, "Yo, you should do this next time," you're doing it next time. Like it doesn't take a while for you to learn. You're not stubborn about that. Like you're just really easy to work with. So that makes it so you can progress, the team can progress. And I mean, it really showed last season. Like when you first joined the team, we weren't very good. And then we went on at the end of the year to win an event, get fourth at champs with only three events. Out of three events, we got six first and fourth. So that's pretty
Yeah.
solid. And I mean, I wish we could have kept playing last year because I feel like we were just getting really good at the end of the
Yeah,
year.
I know.
But I know it is what it is. We got this year to really like, step
Yeah.
up,
Now we're
prove
heating up.
ourselves. Yeah, now we're just heating up and we're gonna do our thing. But going on from that transition from being in Challengers in Cold War to getting picked up to Rocker, like how did that feel? How did it happen? And what was it like to get the call up to joining a pro team?
Well, I think it kind of started in like from the scouting series a little bit when like Brian picked me first and like I was getting like picked really early in the scouting series. Even though
Yeah.
the scouting series like didn't really mean a lot, but it's a good way for coaches to scout. Like
Yeah.
I kind of got a little like recognition there. And then so I was on Triumph and I basically Brian and Jake like DM me asking me about something. And they're asking me like about my past teams and what was going on, and I was just explaining to them like what was happening because I think they kind of had like an eye on me a little bit for a while.
Yeah, they
And
did.
then, so I had a rough Cold War season like in the beginning, but I hate to be that guy, but I was getting costed. I mean,
Sometimes you gotta tell it like it is. Like some people
I mean,
accost on
I wasn't
the
placing that well, but I was definitely getting costed in my opinion,
team.
and it sucks, but it is what it is. I'm not gonna name names, but. And then eventually I won Challenger Cup number 9 with like me, Desi, Sib, and Dave. And I played like really good. I got like MVP that event. And people were like gassing me up. And then like an hour after that tournament, I was like getting a FaceTime call. And it was like Jake's past number. I forget. I was texting Jake about something like the week before because I guess they're you guys were saying you might sign a sub.
Yeah.
And then I declined the call at first because I was like, who is calling me? Like, I don't know this number. Then they
Oh
call
God.
again. And then I start
Oh
thinking, like,
God.
wait, this might be repping. Like, this is like Rocker. And so then I answered it. And then, like, I think Lamar was on it. Lamar was gassing me up. I think Slasher was there too.
Yeah, I
And
think
then
to add a little more
Brian.
to hit your story, a little back behind the scenes. When we called Eli or Jake called Eli, we were actually just went 0-2 to start off the second split of the league, and we kind of knew we needed to change. So to celebrate going 0-2, we actually went to Nobu and had a really nice expensive dinner, and then that's when Jake called Eli. And what were just like you feeling? What were the emotions when you got that call? When you're just like, "Holy shit! Like I'm going to go pro. Like I'm gonna make this a
Yeah.
career."
Well, to add extra background to that, like I kind of knew that Rocker might be eyeing me out, and I think you guys were playing against like two not really good teams
Yeah,
in the first
Paris and
two split.
Florida
Like
when we
compared to
lost.
how you guys were, like two not really good teams.
Yeah, we lost
And
to Paris and Florida.
I was
Lost
low
full.
key watching those matches, like preying on your downfall. Like I hate to be that guy, but like I was low key thinking, like
It is,
if they
you gotta
lose
do it.
this. Like, if they lose this, there's a realistic chance that I could get picked up and start. And then you guys ended up losing it. But obviously, like, I knew you guys were all beasts, and like, I thought you guys were all disgusting. And then and then you guys called me. I was like, holy shit, like, it's happening. Like, let's go. Like, I'm so excited. Like, finally. And I just feel like for anyone that does go pro, like, more people can probably say this. Like, it kind of comes unexpectedly. Like, you don't really expect it happening, but like, it all happens so fast that like, you just kind of have to live in the moment and enjoy it, like, and just like, I don't know, it's a crazy feeling, honestly. Like, not many people get to go through that kind of feeling or like enjoy it, and it just makes you feel like really blessed, and like, it just makes you really happy because like, you know what I mean? Like, you're
Yeah,
grinding
all
for
those
all these
years paid
years,
off.
like, you're just like finally like, wow, like, I'm on a motherfucking pro team, like, let's
Yeah.
get it.
All those years paid off to finally make it into the pro league, and then it's a whole nother like chapter. Like you're in the pro league now. What are you gonna do with it? Are you gonna be one of those people that comes in, does okay, and out in a couple years? But I mean, obviously you're here to stay. One of the best players in the game, and you already won a tournament on land that only I'm pretty sure us and FaZe and Toronto were the only teams to win tournaments last year, and us and FaZe were the only teams to win on land. So that's pretty crazy. You showed that you can go to land and take over. But before we get to that part, let's talk about the first. Wait, actually, no. I almost forgot when we were on FaceTime at Nobu. I remember I had my phone up like this. I'm like, "Yo, what's good, Standy?" I didn't even know his name was Eli at this time, and he goes, "Hey, Attach, can you follow me back now?" And I was like, "Yeah, I got you." After it gets announced, or COD Intel's gonna be all over this. So
Oh yeah, I
that
remember I asked you to follow me back on Twitter.
was fun. I'll never forget that. But then, okay, fast forward. We're playing a match, our first league match coming up, because you moved pretty quick from PA to Texas, and that's your first time ever moving out of your house, right?
Yeah.
So out on your own in the streets of Dallas, Texas. Were you nervous? Like, what were you thinking? Because you're what, like 19?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I didn't expect everything to happen really fast. Like, right when I got picked up, like, I thought I was just gonna be a sub player at first. Like, I thought I was just a substitute spot. But then I was talking with Jake, and Jake was like telling me like, "Yo, like, you're starting in like 3 days. Like, you're playing against Optic starting." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And they're like, "We're gonna get you flown out here. We're gonna get you down in Dallas." And then I flew out, and I lived in a hotel for like 2 weeks until my apartment was ready. And I was just waking up, just playing COD and just scrimming. So, I mean, it is enjoyable. And it's just such a crazy move. And just living on your own, I think it forces you to grow in a way.
Yeah,
Like, you're like
definitely.
kind of forced to like be
You
more of an
gotta
adult.
do laundry. You gotta
Yeah.
cook sometimes. Did you ever what was your favorite thing to cook when you were living out there on your own?
I mean, I didn't really cook much, if you want me to be honest. I ordered food a lot, but
You don't want to
no, I didn't really cook
share the
any
bison
bison.
story?
The cooked bison.
The cooked bison story, and then the pan stayed
Cooked
on the
bison
stove
meat.
for a month.
Yeah, it did stay on the stove for a month, but then we cleaned it, so it's good,
That's
but
all that matters, right? As you clean it. But
it was good. The bison was good though.
yeah, you did a good job. You did a good job. And then going into that first match versus Optic, were you nervous at all? Like, you're going up against some of the biggest team in the game, some of the biggest name players. Like, what were your thoughts like the night before or something? What were you thinking?
I mean, I just like didn't really sleep that much that night before, but like in my head I was just thinking a lot because I just knew that like honestly like I knew that like it was gonna be like I was probably gonna be a little bit nervous and like there's gonna be a lot of stuff happening, but
Yeah.
like I just tried to like think that like not to think too much about it and like also like at the end of the day, like I feel like a lot of people expected us to like lose the
Oh
match
yeah, for
anyway, so
sure.
I'm just gonna go in there and I'm just gonna try to like fry as hard as I can. And just like make sure in the back of my head, I just kept saying like play with confidence, like just do what you want and tell the team what you're doing, and whatever happens is gonna happen. But like just know that like if you do lose or whatever happens, you can at least say like you tried your best and you played with confidence. And that was like kind of the mindset I had, and I just went out there, played with confidence, just played like, you know what I mean? They weren't Optic, even though they are Optic, you know what I mean? Like I
Yeah.
just played like it was just like a normal Challengers match in a way, but obviously I gave them respect, but. So I just would tried my hardest, and we ended up smoking them.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we won the first hard point. Like, I think our hard point record was like terrible. We were like 2-12 or 2-11, 3-12 or something in hard point at that point. And then we played Optic and we won like on raid hard point 250 to 75, something insane. I think we smoked them on SND and then we ended up winning the control. So I don't think anyone had us beating Optic, especially after getting like.
I gotta pee real quick.
All right, go pee real quick. All right, guys, I'm taking over the podcast right here. Hope you guys are all enjoying it so far. Eli had his tacos, so he's late. Now he needs to take a potty break. You know how kids are nowadays. They're crazy. They randomly, it could just hit them like that. Small bladders. It is a good thing that he's staying hydrated, though. You know that if Eli's your favorite player, he's staying hydrated. He's ready to go when there's tournaments, wagers, all that good stuff. So it happens. When you gotta go, you gotta go. I'm not gonna be like one of the referees on main stage where they're like, "Yo, ref, can I go to the restroom?" And they're like, "No." And you're like, "What do you mean I can't go to the restroom?" That's like, you can't just say no. Like, you want me to piss myself on main stage? I'm not trying to do that. So he got up so fast, no warning. Yeah, he must have been holding that for a long time. That's honestly pretty typical. That's pretty typical out of Eli. Damn, that was quick.
I'm back.
Welcome back, man. Welcome back.
Right,
So
so
be honest, how long were you holding that for?
a few minutes. I was a little jittery. You could probably tell.
It just hit you like that, like you needed to
I
go.
mean, I didn't need to go that bad, but then I started feeling it. I was like, then I just started thinking about it. Like, I gotta go. I gotta go. I gotta go. Yeah, I did not wash my hands, Gunnar Tor.
You didn't wash your hands?
Nope.
What am I gonna do
I
with
live
this
in my.
kid?
I, it's my own apartment. You know what I mean? I
Okay,
sat
don't worry.
down.
You can go wash your hands after this, you
Yeah,
nasty.
exactly.
You can go wash your hands after this. You're good. Don't touch your face or anything else, okay?
I'll drink this
Jesus.
water though.
Okay. Well, you're gonna throw that water bottle away. Now back onto it. After that match when we smoked Optic, we won 3-0. That probably had to have been like the best feeling in your career, other than winning Challengers Champs, because I remember that day I was hyped. I think we were all hyped because we didn't expect to beat them. We were just gonna hope to make it a close match, and then we smoked them. What were you like after that when you were getting all the gas? I think you had like a 1.7, some
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
absurd stats.
Like 1 point, yeah, something like that. 1.5, 1.6, I don't know. But yeah, that was just like awesome because like it just felt so good because like you proved everyone wrong.
Yeah.
And like I just knew for like, I don't know, I just felt like when you get disrespected or like discredited for a while, especially in the challenger scene, like I didn't get picked up for a long time. And personally, in my opinion, I felt like I should have been picked up earlier. So then when I go on those matches, and then I just fried Optic. I was just like, what, like this was meant to happen. Like I'm coming out here, I'm putting on a show, I'm smoking them in front of everyone. Like this was meant to happen because of all the fucking time I put in the challengers and never got picked up. So when the time I did get picked up, I was gonna
Yeah,
fry, and I
you
made it
got your
happen.
chance. You got your
Yeah,
chance. You
exactly.
gotta do something with it. Like, you don't wanna just be able to feel like get a chance and get smoked or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
And it's also that same point, like I waited so long to get my chance, like I just couldn't like lose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I had to make the most out of it.
And then I think that was in stage two. I think we went on to place. Oh my God. Stage two was a time when we had the 0.1 second choke versus Dallas Empire the one day. Where if we won that match, if we won that, we lost two round 11 SNDs. The last one, Preston teammated me on Miami SND offense. And then the third game we lost was the control with the 0.1 second choke.
Wait, no, that was stage three.
Was it? No,
Stage two,
stage
remember
three,
we
we
were
lost
down
to
to.
London.
Yeah, but in stage three we also. Oh, are you talking about the major
Yeah,
event?
the major.
Oh yeah. I mean, we did
Yeah.
lose to Dallas like that, but
Yeah.
we went down. So we were down 0-2, then we won three matches straight. Remember we reverse sweeped Seattle, and
Oh
then
yeah, no,
we went.
that's the that was the pool play. When
Oh
we beat
yeah.
Optic, 'cause we
Oh
start
yeah, in the major. Okay,
yeah.
I see what you
'Cause
mean now.
in the
Yeah.
pool play we start off 0-2, lost to Paris and Florida. Then we 3-0'd Optic, beat Dallas game 5, and then reverse swept Seattle. Sorry, Looney. To make it so we get in winners bracket and they're in losers. So after starting out 0-2, we somehow got the first seed. And then that's when like the craziest moments of Cold War happened when we had that choke versus Dallas. If we won that, we would have been top three playing FaZe, but we lost that. And the next day is when the accuracy 1v3 clutch happened versus Optic on Moscow when they lined up. Like, that was one
Oh,
of
that
the
was nuts.
craziest weekends or games, back-to-back matches I've ever experienced. And I didn't think it could get any crazier, but it
Yeah.
did. It did.
Yeah. Watching that, I literally went from like the lowest emotions because, like, obviously I had confidence, but it was like a
It's
1v3.
1v3. Like, you're like, fuck,
You're
we
just thinking in
lost.
your head, like, oh, he's probably gonna lose it. And then he came around, he killed them all. And I just like, I went from like so sad just to like so happy. And I like, it literally felt like my heart dropped. Like, I was about to, like, I don't know what was gonna happen, but like, the mix of emotions just from the lowest to the highest of highs, I was just like, wow, like, watching that was just insane.
Yeah, no, that was one of the craziest moments I've been a part of. And then we end up getting fourth at that tournament. We bomb out of the next one. We actually got 3-0'd by London. Shit, wow. We made a roster change, brought Mike back in for Lamar accuracy. And then we went to LAN. So how was it going to like your first LAN as a pro player? 'Cause like, yeah, you came into the team, you did good online, but realistically, no one actually cares about online. Like, you have to do well, but no one's gonna give you the respect you need until you do it again on LAN. That's when people are gonna really consider you a good team, a good player, when you can show up to LAN and do it. So how was it going to your first LAN as a pro player?
It was really fun, and I just think that like my transition from going to like online pro matches, online tournaments to like pro LAN matches and getting warm-ups in like before your matches, you know what I mean? Like scrimming
Damn.
before your matches. Like I think that like personally what really helped me, because then once you kind of have your head straight and when you're practicing pre-LAN and stuff, and then you go into your match, you just kind of like do what you're doing at the pre-LAN. Like at the end of the day, like it's LAN, like you're either gonna think, oh, I'm only good online and I'm gonna do bad on LAN, which if you think like that, you're probably an idiot. Or you're gonna think like it's LAN, like if anything I should play better, and that's kind of the way that I tried to think about it, so
Yeah, it's an even playing field now. People aren't joking you
yeah.
anymore, because no one could gun
Yeah.
you. No one could gun you. So when it's fair on LAN, like, we're showing up, we're going crazy. But going to LAN, I know a lot of players have like different rituals. Some players just listen to music, shoot bots. Do you have any rituals or like any game day tournament things that you do to kind of like get in your groove to start like get ready for the match?
Usually I would listen to like Pop Smoke or like music just to get like kind of in a hype mode.
Yeah, I like
And
that.
then I would just try to chill, take deep breaths, shoot bots, maybe play some league play matches, and then listen to music. And usually like I'd listen to hype music, and that'd get me in my zone.
Yeah. And I was actually playing at from that Arlington Arena was like one of the coolest things ever. 'Cause like every team had their own room. So you're in your own room, in your own space, scrimming. You can even play online and then play like league play and stuff. So you might have caught us in the league play servers before we went to play on main stage. And then just being back on LAN was incredible because that was the first time we were back on LAN in like a year and a half or like 500 days since the whole COVID thing hit. So while you were having your first LAN, it was the first LAN back for like everyone. So I'm sure there was a couple people, even if there were like seasoned pros, who might have been a little bit nervous when they got to LAN. So it was a good time. And we did pretty well at, no, actually no, we did all right. Pretty shitty actually at Major Four. That's when we got six. And then Major Five is when the magic happened. But after or going into Major Five, like, did you feel like we had a really good chance of winning? Like, what were your thoughts? Because we were playing really well in scrims before Major Five. And I think we were all really confident, but how were you feeling before that?
I was feeling like, for the team wise, like I felt like we were finally finding our groove, and it felt like every day we were getting on, like we were actually like, you know what I mean, setting goals and improving, and like every day it felt like as a team we were getting better. And then like individually wise, it felt like I was personally hitting like having some of the best gameplay consistently and making some of the best plays like I've been making the whole season. So that's like I kind of had a feeling like deep down that like we, for some reason, I just felt like we're gonna win the event, even like before we even went into it, just from how we were playing. And like I also feel like that major, like the Florida match to make sure we got winner's bracket was really clutch,
Yeah.
because we were playing really disciplined and as a team. And then it felt, that's when it felt like, you know what I mean, like we started clicking a little bit,
Yeah.
and then we could actually grow upon like a foundation and a consistent play style. And we kind of knew, like, when you kind of know what your team wants to do before having to say it, is kind
Yeah.
of when you know that everyone's on the same page. Obviously, you want to come and say what you want to do, but like when everyone on the team kind of knows what your idea or goal is on the map, and you don't even have to say it, that's when you know, like, you know what I mean? Everyone knows what we got to do to win.
Yeah, because before that, like, we were definitely a solid team, but we could show up and lose to a team that's not very good. or we could show up and beat a team that's really good. It was just very inconsistent because like we were just kind of running around. It kind of felt like a free for all in the matches. Like if we were winning our gunfights, we were winning. And then we really kind of like implemented a really good system that everyone understood. So right when they spawn, they know exactly what to do off spawn. Go rotate here, go to the hill, pick this up. And it didn't show in the pool play matches because I think we went 3-2, but then we beat Florida. I think we like smoked them. We 3-0'd them the match before going into Major Five. And everything just kind of clicked for us after that. But going into that event, we had the hardest bracket. We played FaZe round one, the guys who just won the Major Four on LAN. So I don't think anyone had us beating FaZe or making anywhere near a run to finals. What was it like being able to play? I know we played FaZe in Major Four, but what was it like to be able to play FaZe when we actually had like a system down and like we were confident in ourselves too?
I mean, like we said, like the times we lost to FaZe before, like we kind of rewatched the matches and we were just like, we weren't playing with confidence. Like we weren't kind of playing as a team. And then going into the match, like against FaZe, which obviously, like everyone's like, they're the best team and stuff. But like we had scrims against them that we played really close. We had scrims that we were beating them. Like we had, you know what I mean? Like we were playing really tight against them in scrims. And I felt like going into that match, like, hey, as long as we play our game, we iced up a little bit, you know what I mean? Everyone has their moments. We play as a team. Like I felt like going into that match, like if anything, FaZe were more like aware of us coming out hot and beating them more of, you know what I mean? Like they definitely knew that like we were looking really, really good and they had to take that match serious. And I mean, we came out with the fire and I mean, it felt really good knowing that like I was confident against the best team in the game and everyone on the team was confident as well. Like I really thought deep down that we were gonna beat them, so.
Yeah, I think with all the practice and how it had been going before that event, we all knew that like this match versus FaZe was gonna be a battle. It's gonna come down to the wire. And I'm pretty sure obviously the whole community was probably thinking it's just gonna be a blowout. But we were scrimming FaZe a lot. We were playing them super close, winning like splitting scrims and like doing well winning maps. And we just kind of knew that like this one is gonna be a match. And if we won this match, we're gonna have all the momentum in the world. But it didn't get any easier after that. We had to play, I believe, Dallas next, which they got second at the last LAN event. We beat them 3-1. And then we played Toronto, who got, I think, like third, I think, at the event before. So we played the 1, 2, and 3 seeds to make it all the way to the finals. And then we ended up 3-0ing Toronto in the winners' finals to make it to the grand finals. And there it is. Eli was in his first finals right
Let's
there
get
on LAN. He's not an onliner. He showed himself. But how did it feel going into like into finals? Because I mean, from you just went pro a couple months prior. Now you're on LAN in the grand finals, waiting to play your first ever finals to start that perfect finals record. Like, were you
So
ner like
I was
were
just
extra
really
nervous or
anxious.
like, what
I
were you
was
thinking?
like, obviously, I feel like I do get a little nervous sometimes, like if, just to be honest with myself, but like
Nah, yeah,
I feel like
it's
it's
an
more like
emotion. Everyone gets
anxious
nervous.
nervous. I feel like it's like anxious nervous. But then like I feel like what I kind of deal with, like what I just kind of need, like once I find my like zone or like zen, I guess you could say, Bans did it last year, like once I just start like getting in the zone and just like focusing on what's in front of me, like being calm, being mindful in the moment in front of me and not like thinking too much about like the result that could happen, like what could be the end score, and I just kind of focus on map by map, play by play in front of me. That's when I kind of feel like I kind of like zone into my own gameplay, the team gameplay, and I don't really think too much about like, oh, we're on LAN, oh, we could lose, oh, I could do bad on LAN, you know what I mean? Or the fans are watching. I just kind of like focus on the team, focus on what I gotta do. And I mean, I was definitely really, really anxious because you're just sitting there like hours
You're
the night before knowing you're gonna be in your first
waiting.
grand finals for a lot of money. But then I just try to think almost like I'm not playing. You almost want to play in a way that like you're not playing for money,
Yeah, exactly.
if that makes sense. Like I feel like you'll want to play in a way that you're almost obviously play like you're playing for money and try really hard and try to win, but like almost in the back of your head, like play like there's no money on the line, like you're just playing a game, you know what I mean?
The way I like to look at it too sometimes, like we've played these maps, we've scrimmed, we've played tournaments hundreds of thousands of times. Like this is just another one. It just has a couple extra 100,000 on top of it. But don't even think about that. Just go out there, do what you practice, what your team's gonna do. And most of the time, if you can do that, you're gonna win. And for me, that weekend felt like a movie. Like after every day when we drove back to our apartment and we're chilling, I was like, oh my God, we're in the finals now. Like this is sick. I can't believe we're already in the finals because I don't think anyone expected that. And we did it
Yeah, that was like a movie.
And we got there by like dominating too. We 3-1 FaZe, 3-1 Dallas, 3-0 Toronto. So it wasn't like we were just getting by. And we were dominating. And so I was hyped going into that next day. And then we kind of got shit on the first four maps of the series. I swear, yo, every map after the first map we lost, it was just like, all right, guys, we're warmed up now. Let's go. Let's step on the gas. Oh, and then we got shit on again. And it's like, all right, guys, two maps. Now it's time to really step it up. What were you thinking like in your head? Like, holy shit, we're about to get 5-0'd in our first finals ever.
We went down 0-4 and I knew in the back of my head, I was like, fuck, like, I'm getting smoked right now, but like, I also feel like I'm just not thinking or shooting straight. Like, it's just like, I knew like as a team, like we all were getting gunned. But like, after every map, it was just slowly like, I guess you could say like, obviously we should have started shooting back the second map and playing as a team the second map. But after every map, it's just like, all right, we're starting to feel a little bit better, a little bit better, like a little bit better. And then by the fourth map, we're just like, all right, if we're gonna get 5-0'd, like we're gonna get 5-0'd, and we're just gonna be ego challenging, frying, you know what I mean? Like challenging people on the map.
We just need one. We need one map, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Once we get one map, like we're gonna get going. And then, I mean, I just think that we just took it map by map, and I don't think, like, anyone – I think in everyone's head, like, we knew we could win. Obviously, we weren't, like, thinking that, like, oh, if we lose, we lose, obviously. But I think in everyone's head, like, we knew that, like, something crazy, like, magical could happen. And, I mean, it did. So
yeah, and it all started with the Miami SND. Everyone hated that map, but our team loved it. We were just so good at it for some reason. So shout out to Miami SND for starting the comeback.
Remember, we used to like never play it. Did we used to not play it? Nah, we did.
Nah, we used to play it, but you used to hate it.
I hated Miami.
You literally would every time we're scrimming SND, you're like, dude, I fucking hate this map. We're never playing it, and it was our best map.
Top purple every life.
It was literally a best map. But like even to this day, that comeback doesn't even feel real. Like it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, it's so out of a movie. It's so perfect. Like, everything had to happen perfectly to make that comeback. And it's definitely going to be one of the craziest things in our careers for sure. And just in Call of Duty history, like that's cemented in Call of Duty history. And everyone's going to remember that, that comeback, whether they call it the Minnesota Miracle, the Minnesota Massacre. I don't even know what they call it, but that shit was crazy. And, I knew with the players on our team that we can make that happen. Like, I know Preston's not giving up ever. I know Mike's not folding under pressure. I know you're going hard no matter what. So like, if there was a team that was going to do it, it was going to be us, because we're going to fight till the end. Like they're going to have to just smoke us 5-0 or something, because we're going to come back fighting no matter what. So after we made that comeback and won that tournament, you're a champion now. Like, what were you just thinking? Like, you had to have gone back, and when you're just laying in bed, like, damn, I really did this shit. I'm a pro. I'm a land champion now. Like, chilling.
It just, like you're saying, like it just kind of seemed like fake, almost like a movie. Like it almost seemed like after it happened, I was just like, wow, like that really happened. Like, is that like, did this really happen? And like, obviously, like I was just like, I don't know. It just seems like something that no one can ever predict, or something that you just like, I don't know. It's just a feeling that you can't really describe, and that's just kind of how I felt about it. And I still feel like that, like this, like to this day. It was just crazy, and like knowing that my first win on land was like, or my first like finals win on land was like in that kind of fashion, that way, like I feel like it like kind of taught me a lesson too. That's just like, not give up.
Yep.
Like believe in yourself, and like crazy things can happen, you know.
Yeah, and let's just say, like, I really hope that later this season when we win tournaments, we can just do it a little more like calm, because you know, I'm getting older. I'm 24, about to turn 25, seventh oldest pro player in the league, and like, I'm down to just 5-0 a team or something. Like, we don't need to go 0-4 and make crazy comebacks all the time. Like, I'm going to start getting gray hairs. I'm going to start having heart attacks. Like, I'm getting up there, man. I'm going to have high blood pressure. We can't be doing all these crazy comebacks all the time now. But it always seems to be that. That's just how
I took 5 years off my life.
Yeah, like, we aged. We all got older now because of that. And it's just insane. But after finding all that success so quick in your career, what would you say is like your ultimate goal in gaming, in Call of Duty? Like, what do you want to do, or where do you want to see yourself 5 years from now?
I think I just want to see myself go down as one of the best like SMG players in like that like was in the COD League, if not the best, one of the best. And also I want to be like I want to start eventually building a bigger like brand for myself like throughout like social media, like Instagram, Twitter, YouTube and stuff, but I need to get to that grind. And then I also just want to like be able to look back on it and just be like, wow, like I was really happy to be a part of like some of these things and like really look back on it and be like, wow, like I'm proud of myself and proud of what I did, you know, and just like have it kind of like tell my like future kids or something about these kind of stories or like stuff like that. So,
Well, what about winning a ring?
oh yeah, that too. I want to win a ring.
You want to win a
Definitely,
world
definitely want to
championship?
win a world championship.
Make it a couple, you know? Because
Yeah, I
if you
want
only
to.
win
That's
one,
definitely
it's
an
so
ultimate
close.
goal.
One is just so close to zero. Like, you got to get
I
a
don't want to
couple.
win one championship. I want to win like
Got to win
I want to win
more.
a ring and some more championships along with it.
Yeah. And is there anything that you would say to a professional player coming up, or no, a non-professional, a challenger player coming up, or even if you can go back in time and like talk to yourself when you were 16, 17, grinding wagers, like, what tip would you give yourself or other players trying to make it into the pro scene?
I would just say think of the bigger picture. Like that would just be my best tip because like I feel like sometimes like even now I still do it at times, like you get on, you do bad one day, or like you're not shooting the best you are one day, or like you're down on yourself, you do really bad. Like you gotta think about it as a bigger picture. Like if you wanna go pro, it's gonna take whiles of grinding, it's gonna take a lot of playing, a lot of learning. Like don't just kinda think too much in the moment if you do bad. Like think about the bigger picture here. Like what do you want your ultimate end goal to be, and what kind of steps are you gonna take to get there? So, and also just if you believe in yourself and like if you really deep down like think you got it, and I don't know, it's like it's kind of like for me going pro is like it's like a calling in a way. Like I don't know, it's like I just kind of knew.
Yeah, he's
Like
kind of new.
I just kind of knew. Obviously, it took a lot of time, the grinding and practicing, but like just something deep down like was just kind of telling me like I knew that I could make it happen. So
Yeah, I mean, anything that's
that's the best way to
worthwhile,
describe it.
yeah, anything that's worthwhile is gonna take a long time, but it's gonna be worth it when it finally does happen. And that was actually some really good advice. Usually people just say like, yeah, honestly, just enter some wager tournaments and get cracked. I feel like that was really like in-depth advice. So for a young man, you have a very good head on your shoulders, very intelligent. I think the glasses might make you look a little bit smarter, though. I feel like glasses
Yeah.
always make people look a little bit smarter.
Yeah, for sure.
But that was honestly pretty fun. I do want to get the chat involved a little bit. Chat, if you have any questions for Eli while we have him, because his time is valuable. You know what they say, time is money. Eli's time is valuable. So if you have any questions right now is the time to ask. He'll be answering because, you know, he has to take care of business, watch some VOD, get prepared to win some more championships, and go watch some VOD, work on his game. Because it's all, what's it called? It's all about the grind. Has he washed his hands yet? Eli, have you washed
No.
your hands yet? No. Straight to the point. He doesn't fuck around. What do you want the third game mode to be? Ooh, what would you want the third game mode to be?
Control.
Control. Yeah, I think that would be the best one. Were you old enough to play CTF? Did you ever play Capture the Flag?
Just like World War II ranked play.
Okay. Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I like CTF.
What was your best or favorite play of the year from Renegade?
Probably like the stage five, like raid when I started off and I was just absolutely frying like the
Oh,
first
game
two, three
nine?
rounds. And yeah, like just that
Yeah.
whole map, just that like whole map was
Yeah,
like my favorite.
you fried
Yo, some of these
that whole
questions are
map.
hilarious.
All right, take it off. Go crazy, bro. What questions do you want to answer? You could take over.
All right, I can take over. All
Yeah,
right,
read the
favorite
question
moment
out
with each other.
loud. Yeah, what's our favorite moment together? What do you think about you're laying in bed, about to go to sleep. You're like, I love this moment with Dylan. Well, what is it?
I don't know, just like winning Major Five, going out to get food, or like going out to get food
Yeah.
sometimes, like just talking, chilling. I can't remember, it's hard.
Too many good memories, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of good memories, a lot of good times. What is the funniest story with the Rocker Boys? Probably, I don't know, we have a lot of funny stories, but
Funny stories. Honestly, I say one of our best stories is when we did the donut eating
Oh
content.
yeah, I like the
We were
donut one.
eating donuts, we were bobbing for apples.
Yeah,
And you
that
have a
was.
hidden talent for bobbing for apples because it must be your teeth, your neck, your mouth. Like you got a good mouth.
Yo, I had the strat down. I'd find the apple, I'd push it to the end of the thing, and then I'd bite it.
Yeah,
And just.
I almost broke my neck doing that. Like, I legit almost broke my neck. It was so bad. Ooh, that is a good one. How does it feel knowing you will never be on the same level as Doug Sensor Martin?
I mean,
We can all get we can work to
I don't
get
know.
there. I don't think we're ever gonna I don't think
I
anyone's
can.
ever gonna
I'm
get
gonna
there.
keep working out to get jacked and cracked one day, but I mean, it's gonna take some time. You know what I mean? It's gonna take a lot of grinding.
Y'all sign in the backstage of the esports arena, the straight legend type shit. Oh man, I wish we went to the esports awards just to. I want to go back to that arena
I mean, I think
again.
I was invited to that, but
Oh,
then
were
I
you?
didn't go. Yeah, I guess because like I think Rookie of the Year people were invited, but
Oh,
I guess I
yeah.
didn't like. I missed it or something.
Yeah, that would have been dope. When I was nominated for Best Play of the Year, it was in London. So it was like a 12-hour flight. The game was out. It was chalked. But I'm sure you'll be nominated for more stuff. You know, Console
Is
Player
Vinny
of the
Gage
Year.
factor?
Wait, Vinny Gage? Oh yeah, that's
Vinny
your guy.
Gage came to Major Five. He
He
was the
did.
coach of my team when I won Challengers Cup 9 before I got picked up.
Yeah, and Vinny Gage is actually Zuma's cousin. And Vinny Gage would tell Tommy in World War II in 2018 when Eli was underage that Standy is the next up. He's going pro. He's disgusting. You guys got to pick up Standy. And I'm like, who is Standy? I've never even heard of this guy before. And couple years later, here we are, teaming together, winning tournaments together. And it's just kind of crazy. So big shout out to Vinny. We all love him. He's our good luck charm. And we hope to keep frying. But Eli, I think that's going to do it for the episode. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. Now go watch
Pleasure
some
being it.
VOD. Go watch some VOD so we can keep frying in scrims, okay?
Yep.
Nah, but for real. Thank you for coming on. Hopefully you had a good time. Hopefully you weren't too nervous.
I was not
You
nervous.
weren't nervous? Are you sure?
I was a little nervous, but you know what I mean? I just yapped my mouth off, my
You're a
mouth
good
off.
talker. You're not really shy. I thought you were a little shy kid when you first moved to Texas, but no, I was in for a rude awakening when I thought that. You're crazy, filled with energy. I can't even keep up with you nowadays. But thank you guys all for watching. Hopefully you enjoyed the ninth episode with Eli for Stay Attached. It's always fun. I'm glad to have it back. Hopefully gonna be doing some more in the future. We have a lot of guests to go on. I'm gonna be making a tweet. We're gonna figure out who we gotta bring on next. But thank you guys all for watching. If you missed it, or wait, if you missed it, you're not gonna be here. But this will be on YouTube, it will be on Spotify, all that good stuff. So you can show it to your friends, listen to your friends, listen on the car rides at the gym, all that good stuff. But thank you guys all for watching. Have a great night, everyone, and we'll see you all later.